Brady on the Pulse of Arizona, 1100 KFNX. Today, part two of our two-part series on retirement. Suddenly Retired is the name of the book, written by Donald Hersler. I am having a ball talking with Donald Hersler, H-U-R-Z-E-L-E-R, the author of Suddenly Retired, A Roadmap for What Comes Next. Retirement is something that I don't think you're ever going to avoid talking about it because of people in your life who've already retired or people who are planning to retire, or you're just thinking about when you will retire. Don, there's obviously a lot of things that we can cover in terms of retirement, but I want to focus on a couple of things here. We had talked earlier about you and your wife's process of determining where you wanted to live. I hear a lot of people today who are talking about moving to where their kids are. I'm absolutely impressed with how devoted a lot of these grandparents are to their grandkids. But how should that factor in? And it might be a problem if you have four or five kids as to where in fact you move. But how should that factor in? And is that necessarily a good thing?
Well, in the reviews of my book, because I talk about this in the book, in the reviews of my book, one of the reviewers just gave me a scathing review because of what they felt was my selfishness around what we're about to talk about here. And they're right, because I did it, and I even said so in the book. Yeah, this is pretty selfish of me. But for all of my life, I have been available to everybody for everything, because that's how we make a living, and that's how we get up to where we are in life. And I decided in retirement I was going to take full control of my life and do what I wanted to do and what my wife wanted to do, not what our children wanted us to do or our friends expected us to do or you name it. We were going to do what we wanted to do, not the number two or three thing that we wanted to do, but the number one thing we wanted to do, which was live in Hawaii, and none of them live there. They live in Los Angeles. I got two kids and five grandchildren. I love them all. They're great. And we found that with emails and FaceTime, particularly FaceTime, and Zoom, and all the things that we have going for us, we get along just fine. The second thing is there are these things called airplanes, and we're on them all the time. We fly back and forth, and, you know, we wait till we find really cheap rates, and off we go. Our grandson, 15-year-old grandson, is coming over Monday. He's just coming over to surf and get in the water with sharks and have some fun with Linda and I for a week. And then the week following, we're going over there. And so, yeah, you make it work out. What I did not want to do, and this is the selfish part, and it is just plain selfish, what I did not want to do was be the chauffeur for the grandkids, pick them up at soccer, you know, take them to this, take them to that, be obligated to go to every baseball game. I'll go out for baseball games, and I'll go out for playoffs and this, that, and the other. But I was not going to be that granddad that was going to do the things that so many people do. If you love doing that, that's great. If you're doing it because you feel you're obligated to do it, you're making a great big mistake, and I say be a little more selfish.
Okay. And that would have been good advice for a friend of mine who lived in Palm Beach County, Florida, had a beautiful big house, owned a business, and her son moved to South Carolina. So she said, I think I want to move to South Carolina. Sold the business, sold the house, moved to South Carolina, just in time for him to get the offer of a lifetime and move away from South Carolina.
Oh.
So I think in a dose of reality, and I'm going to hew to what you said here, you kind of got to make the right decisions for you and not make it all about other people, because other people can change course.
They have their lives and you have yours, and yeah, choose for yourself. And you're going to have so many people whispering in your ear about, you know, obligations and how you could be of help and this, that, and the other. That's all good advice. Thank you. Let me write that down. Now let me go someplace quiet and think through what I want to do. And this is really our last great chance to do exactly what we want to do. We're not obligated to our parents or our children or our employers. This is our chance to be CEO of our life. And Linda and I took that chance seriously and made the moves based on what we wanted to do.
Donald Herzver is with us. He's the author of Suddenly Retired, A Roadmap for What Comes Next. Oh, is this a great setup to this question? Somebody retires. They thought, this is going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. I'm going to retire. I'm going to have all this freedom. Going to be able to play golf 9 hours a day. And then they realize, I'm not happy. Really not happy. What are the things that people should be thinking about, Don, before they jump into something that they haven't really thought through, and then they realize, you know, the satisfaction I used to have of working or being involved in various type of volunteer efforts, you know, I'm not finding that at the 19th hole.
You know, I've always been a big believer, particularly in business, during my business career, don't let loose of one ring until you have your hand firmly on the next one. And so I think those folks needed to kind of go back and replan their retirement and make sure they do have a bit of a plan for moving forward. So I want to just kind of reflect on this great question a little bit. I have my actual email address in the book, and I encourage the readers to say, hey, if you got things that are bugging you, or you need to somebody who'll keep things private and give you their honest assessment of what your plans are, just write me and we'll start back and forth on email. The most emails I've gotten out of that are people who said, hey, I'm not suddenly retired, I'm already retired, and I hate it. And so we then get into a lengthy back and forth on how to restructure the retirement. But they hated it because they didn't have a plan other than to stop working, and that's not a plan. So, yeah, I'm with you. You need to know what direction you're going. And guess what? Here's the really cool thing about retirement. If you retire and you decide, I'm going to become a cinematographer, and you rush off and work for 2 years, and it turns out you're lousy at it or you hate it or it's more work than you thought, you can quit that and try something new. And it's not a failure. It was just an experiment, and the experiment didn't work out. Who cares? Let's go try something else. So things that we used to consider to be a failure and a blot on our resume, what resume? You don't have a resume in retirement. Try things until you find one that you like, and hopefully it'll be around a passion that you have. Mine is around photography and writing. And if you find those, you know, hook up with the things that you love, it's going to be the best time of your life.
Well, it begs another question, and that would be second careers. People have adequate funding for retirement. They don't necessarily have to be looking for something that's going to pay them $250,000 a year. But they may be looking at something that they always wanted to do that they never could take the financial risk to do because maybe it didn't pay enough.
Well, yeah, and I've done a lot of that in my retirement, and it's turned into a bit of an actual job, which I didn't really want it to, and I struggle with that a little bit. So this photo business is a pretty busy business. I've got, like, the world's greatest partner. It's Linda and I and this young guy named C.J. Kale, he's just a world-class photographer. He's young. He runs everything. He does all the hard work. But we still get involved on a really almost a daily basis. And so, yeah, you got to watch out because you can end up being successful and find yourself right back in the work grind. And I'm always having to weigh that. But on the other hand, you know, I have friends of mine who were CEO of one of the biggest companies in the United States, and he now gives ski lessons in Aspen. And he wrote me and said he was pretty thrilled. He got a $20 tip the other day. And I know this guy's worth $500 million. But he's doing what he loves.
God bless him. That's the old adage, isn't it? If you do something you love for work, you never work a day in your life.
I think it's true.
Don Herzler is with us. He's the author of a book called Suddenly Retired, A Roadmap for What Comes Next, available through Amazon. And I would really urge you, if you're in that process where you're starting to think about retirement, to get the benefit of people who have gone before you. And Donald Herzler is one who has successfully gone before you. Suddenly Retired, A Roadmap for What Comes Next, available through Amazon. We will continue in just a moment. Bill Brady on the Pulse of Arizona, 1100 KFNX. This is Bill Brady on the Pulse of Arizona, 1100 KFNX. I don't know if in journalism school I'm supposed to be so enthusiastic about the fact that I'm enjoying a conversation with an interview subject, but I am. Donald Herzler is with us. He's the author of a book called Suddenly Retired, A Roadmap for What Comes Next, available from Amazon. Donald, in these economic times where we have the highest inflation we've had in 40 years, we haven't had a collapse of the stock market yet, but the market has certainly declined this year. Financial preparation for retirement is certainly important. What are the key things that we talk about there?
Okay, so I retired in 2008. You may recall the world collapsed financially in 2008, and I lost a fortune. I had taken two of my retirement income streams as lump sums, which means cash, and then invested them 100% in the stock market. And I was in Australia for a month with Linda, and I just lost a fortune. Every morning I'd pick up the paper and go, oh, wow, you know, man, did we lose a lot of money today. When it was all over, I probably lost half my money. And in your first year of retirement, that's not a good thing to have happen. However, I was smart enough that I didn't, you know, abandon ship and run and do things like say I'll never invest in stocks again. I waited it out. A couple of them went bankrupt, but I was also able to buy some really good companies right at the bottom because I had some cash on the side. And I think two or three years later, I had four times more money than I had when I started. So these things come and go. I think the key word is don't panic. The second key word is make sure you're debt-free when you retire, if at all possible. And I know that's not always possible. I completely understand that's not always possible. But the closer you are to debt-free, the better off you'll be. I was in the wonderful, fortunate, privileged position of not having a house payment nor any debt of any kind when I retired. And trust me, that made the ups and downs of the market seem so much less important. So if you can ever get to that point, I urge people to pay down debt and get rid of that high-interest debt. And then, by gosh, if you find that things are really going bad like they have been kind of lately, and you need to go get a part-time job or get some benefits paid for through a part-time job, who cares? Go do it. You've worked your whole life. You know how to do it. And if it's at Walmart as a greeter, so what? That could be fun. So I say you do what you have to do to make it through the storm, and you will. The only people I know that have run out of money in retirement are those who started with no money when they retired.
Well, and you know, there's another thing, too, that that is happening now. It's happening with people going from the Northeast, New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, to Florida. And we have a situation now here in Arizona where if you pull up to a light and there are 8 to 10 cars there, for a while there was going to be at least one from California. Now there's one from California and one from Washington or Oregon, and they've been here long enough that there's another one with a California dealer plate on that now has an Arizona registration. People are moving from places where the housing costs are high and then moving into places like Arizona where they may be a little lower, or Florida where they may be a little lower. And also with the whole downsizing thing, that they're moving from a really big house to a more affordable house and a smaller house. Is there a strategy that people should have in mind in regard to that? Because in that case, their house has been a piggy bank.
We did all of the above that you just mentioned. And in fact, last August, I sold my last California property, happiest day of my life. The tax situation had gotten so out of hand there, and costs were so much. Hawaii is not the cheapest place to live, but and I won't get into this now, but if you get behind the curtain on Hawaii, it's the cheapest place I've ever lived, because you don't buy anything. You barter. You know, you go down and barter with your friend for some tuna and some lobster, and you go pick the bananas next door, and you know it's a place you can live for almost free. Except housing is expensive, and then if you want to actually buy goods and products, which we don't because we're old and retired, they're expensive because of shipping. So you've got to think it through. You've got to think through where you want. But by gosh, you know, these are supposed to be your happy, wonderful years. Don't pick a place in the middle of nowhere just because it's cheap. We even have that on this island. And you go out and you go, wait a minute, that lava is still smoking. Maybe this isn't the best place to bought a lot. And we get a lot of that. It looks so good, you know, to buy 10 acres for next to nothing, and then you find out, yeah, well, you got a volcano in your backyard. So, you got to be careful and think it through, and think all of it through. What are the local taxes? What are the local benefits? What do things cost there? And you'll figure it out. Everybody does.
Donald Herzler is our guest today. He's the author of Suddenly Retired, A Roadmap for What Comes Next. The big question, and I'm asking it out of order here, Donald, is how much money will you need to retire? What should people plan for?
Well, you know, this is the most controversial question of all, and I get hate mail on it from time to time when I say this, but I think you need millions. And let me describe what millions is. I think you need the cash flow of millions, not the actual millions themselves. So, for example, if you qualify for Social Security, the cash flow on that, in big round terms, you'd have to have about $1 million in the bank to get the cash flow out of what you're getting from there. So there's $1 million. If you have a spouse and that spouse qualifies for Social Security, then that's another $1 million. So you've got millions now with an S on the end. And then it's nice to have everything from there on is extra and wonderful. And so I hope that people have some savings. But the best thing you can do is get rid of that debt first, even before savings. Get rid of the debt first. And if you're not paying high interest and monthly payments on stuff, it's amazing how little you need to get by.
Now, we haven't spoken of the clinically insane. And those would be the people who pick their golden years to divorce. Have you heard of that happening? And how much damage are people doing to themselves and each other if they decide to do that?
To do what now? I missed it.
Divorce.
Oh my God! I think under any set of circumstances, and a best buddy of mine called yesterday with that news. There's no way to cover this up. It's going to be a financial disaster. No way to cover it up. And you're just going to have to do the best that you can do. I can't even drum up some good advice for you. But here's what I do know. If the two of you are not happy, you know, you got to do what makes you happy. And happiness is sometimes more important than money. But from a financial standpoint, disaster.
Yeah, well, for sure. Not just the legal bills, but the old adage that two can live as cheaply as one may be true. One living apart from the other, that formula doesn't work. Don, let me ask you to conclude here. Donald Herzler is with us, the author of Suddenly Retired, A Roadmap for What Comes Next. What would your closing thoughts be if you had 60 seconds on an elevator with somebody to give them some advice on contemplating retirement?
Be the CEO of your retirement. You take charge. Do the things that are going to make you happiest in the long run. If it turns out you made a mistake, change it. Try something different and keep changing it. until you get it right. And by gosh, challenge yourself to do things that are a little more risky than you've done in the past, because you'll find that, yeah, you can swim in the ocean even though there are sharks there. Don't let that stuff scare you. Learn how to take risks and be safe at the same time.
Very good advice, especially to try something new. Do something that you always wanted to do but either didn't have the time or the professional latitude to do it. Do something new. Donald Herzberg, thank you.
Bill, I've loved it. Thank you very much.
The name of the book is Suddenly Retired, A Roadmap for What Comes Next. Transforming what's next into your next big thing. Donald Herzberg, Suddenly Retired, available from Amazon. This is Bill Brady on the Pulse of Arizona, 1100 KFNX.